Chapter 11. An Ally. The girl takes them through a labyrinth of corridors. Their room is high in a tower in the middle of the palace. From the window, they can see the town far below them and the summit of the Crystal Mountain. It is small but comfortable, with a warm fire and an oil lamp. There are two divans with blankets and cushions on them. The girl brings them fruit on silver plates. Julie notices the eagle motif again on them.
"Thank you,"
says Julie.
"You are very kind."
"Don't be silly, Julie. She doesn't speak English,"
says Neil.
"Yes, I do,"
whispers the girl, looking anxiously at the door.
"I'm Canadian. My real name is Karen."
"What?"
cries Neil.
"What are you doing here?"
"I found the valley by chance, like you. I was climbing in the Ruwenzori Mountains and I lost my group. That was 5 years ago."
"Why don't they help you to go home?"
asks Julie.
"They are not bad people,"
says the girl slowly.
"But they are completely isolated here. Their ancestors arrived from the Middle East thousands of years ago. They have a good life here. The climate is perfect. The ground is very fertile. They have no machines, no electricity, no telephones, no cars. They do everything manually. Their life is peaceful and they are happy. Only the 12 elders from tonight and some of the guardians know that a world exists outside this valley. The rest of the population, the peasants and the workers, think that there is only desert and jungle beyond the mountains. They think that they are the last people on earth."
"But why don't the elders tell them the truth?"
asks Neil.
"Because they don't want any contact with the world outside. They think that the world is corrupt and its influence is bad for their perfect existence here. That's why I have to stay here. They're afraid that I want to tell other people of the valley."
"What can we do, Neil?"
asks Julie. But Neil isn't listening.
"Do you know what all this means, Julie?"
he says excitedly.
"Dad is right! This is the lost civilization he's looking for. But it's not near Lake Victoria. It's here, in the Ruwenzori Mountains. We must tell
him..." "Shut up, Neil, and think,"
interrupts Julie.
"We can't tell him anything. If we are prisoners here, can we?"
"I want go home. My village,"
adds Nutu.
"We must think of how to escape from here. I want to return to the 21st century,"
says Julie.
"Perhaps I can help you,"
says Karen.
"I know the way to the ice tunnel. There is a climber's base not far from the glacier on the other side. It's difficult to climb, and we haven't got any equipment, but perhaps we can do it."
"How far is it to the climber's base after the tunnel?"
asks Neil.
"It's about 3 kilometers. Then you have to climb up to a pass to cross the mountains. It's dangerous. There are a lot of landslides, and it's vital to go at night in the dark so they can't see us."
"I don't know. Julie's leg is still weak, and we are very, very tired,"
replies Neil.
"We must go this night,"
interrupts Newton.
"Tonight, no moon. No one see us."
"He's right,"
agrees Karen.
"We have to go tonight. It's our only chance."
2 hours later, a guard on the walls sees some shadows in the courtyard of the palace. He looks down suspiciously, but he can't see anything in the dark. He returns to his post. Karen takes Julie, Nutu and Neil down into the basement of the ancient palace. Their hearts are beating fast, and they stop many times to listen if people are following them. But the corridors are silent, and they eventually arrive in the cellars. It is humid, and there is a bad smell. Karen shows them a small gate in the wall. It is old and covered in dense vegetation. It is very difficult to open it, but Nutu and Neil use their knives, and they open it little by little. The four children stumble out into the night and begin to run as fast as possible towards the forest.